나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사디고
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 5th, 1985 in New Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia.The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 10, Texts 91 through 103.
Mahaprabhu Priya Brita Raghunath Das Sarvotaji Koila Prabhupada Tolevas. Translation.Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, the 46th branch of the tree, was one of the most dear servants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left all his material possessions to surrender completely unto the Lord and live at his lotus feet. Purport. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was most probably born in the year 1416 Sakabda in a Kayastha family as the son of Govardhan Majumdar, who was the younger brother of the Zen Zamindar Hiranya Majumdar.The village where he took birth is known as Sri Krishnapura. On the railway line between Calcutta and Burdwan is a station named Trisha Bagha. And about 1.5 miles away is the village of Sri Krishnapura, where the parental home of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami was situated. A temple of Sri Sri Radha Govinda is still there. In front of the temple is a large open area, but no large hall for meetings.However, a rich Calcutta gentleman named Hari Charana Ghosh, who resided in the Simla quarter, recently repaired the temple. The entire temple compound is surrounded by walls, and in a small room just to the side of the temple is a small platform on which Raghunath Das Goswami used to worship the deity. By the side of the temple is the dying river Saraswati. The forefathers of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami were all Vaishnavas and were very rich men.His spiritual master at home was Yadunandan Acharya. Although Raghunath Das was a family man, he had no attachment for his estate and wife. Seeing his tendency to leave home, his father and uncle engaged special bodyguards to watch over him. But nevertheless, he managed to escape their vigilance and went away to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This incident took place in the year 1439.Let's see, 39 minus 16. At that time he was 23 years old. Raghunath Das Goswami compiled three books named Stavamala or Stavavali, Dana Charita, and Mukta Charita. He lived for a long duration of life. For most of his life he resided at Radha Kunda, the place where...Raghunath Das Goswami performed his devotional service still exists by Radha Kunda. He almost completely gave up eating, and therefore he was very skinny and of weak health. His only concern was to chant the holy name of the Lord. He gradually reduced his sleeping until he was almost not sleeping at all. It is said that his eyes were always full of tears. When Srinivas Acharya went to see Raghunath Das Goswami, the Goswami blessed him by embracing him.Srinivas Acharya requested his blessings for preaching in Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami granted them. In the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika 186, it is stated that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was formerly the gopi named Rasa Manjari. Sometimes it is said that he was Rati Manjari. So, there are...Six Goswamis who resided in Vrindavana. And they're largely responsible for the explanation of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya himself only wrote eight verses. But his followers, especially the six Goswamis, they wrote volumes and volumes of books. So, there's a verse glorifying Lord Chaitanya by stating that each one of Lord Chaitanya's energies, his devotees, are his different energies. And each of them are blessed with some specific quality. For instance, Rupa and Sanatan, especially Sanatan Goswami, their characteristic was he were very humble. Although he was the prime minister of one of the largest empires in India, and you could practically say in the world at that time, he was very humble. And when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took a piece of straw in his teeth to express his humility. And throughout his life, he was always excessively humble. Ramananda Rai, another great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he manifested the quality of being totally unagitated, even in the presence of sense gratification. So much so that he was training beautiful young girls how to dance for the Jagannath temple. There were Devadasis, who were young girls who dedicated their youthful life for dancing before Lord Jagannath. At that time, no other person was allowed to see. It wasn't intended for outside view. May other kept out, only the Lord would watch their dancing. It was their special offering. So, but Ramananda Rai was their trainer. But it said that in spite of being with so many beautiful young girls, he was never slightly ever agitated or disturbed at all. And Lord Chaitanya confirmed this, that what he is doing is not possible for anybody else. But for him it's possible. So, then, like that, each one of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they've got some outstanding characteristic. You see, Swarup Damodar, his characteristic was he was always able to be a critic or editor, a critic of any kind of philosophy. He could immediately analyze even the most subtle Krishna conscious philosophical points and pick out what were the defects, where were the philosophical errors. Remarkably, I mean astoundingly, he was able to do that. You see. So, that was his specific quality. So Lord Chaitanya, he would never let anyone read any poetry to him unless it was cleared by Swarup Damodar. Because if Lord Chaitanya heard something which was philosophically off, it like ruined his whole day. You know, or more. So he just like an expert musician probably wouldn't like to hear something totally out of tune or something. Much worse than that, to hear something which is off, just like a rasa bhas, would be totally painful for Lord Chaitanya. So Swarup Damodar would check things first. And there's some great histories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how he discovered there were some poetry and some songs that were written by certain devotees or brahmanas, and he totally rejected those for different points. And his analysis is so it's like X-ray vision or something. It's so penetrating that it's very revealing. So like that, now Raghunath Das, here's another one of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His quality was that he was the most austere. The austerities that he did, nobody can imitate that. Just like no one can imitate the others for their particular actions. Nobody can even hold a candle up to the austerities Raghunath Das Goswami did. The amount of the example of just total absorption in devotional service and chanting, and just the extreme austerity is unparalleled. You'll hear a little bit about some of the austerities he did. Of course, not that he just did austerities and then nothing else, but he was chanting many rounds every day. He was bowing down in Govardhan Hill. He was worshipping Vrindavan. He was assisting Swarup Damodar in Jagannath Puri. He was writing transcendental literatures and so many other things, so many devotional services. But he would, because in his early life, he was the son of a zamindar, nephew of a big zamindar. Zamindar is like a small king Maybe in Europe it would be like an earl. He's a lord. He had a big landlord. It means he had his own private army. They had a palace. They had collected taxes from the serfs. They had like that. But they were underneath the king. They had to pay, they had to, whatever taxes they collected, they had to pay, I believe it's one-third or one-half, they have to pay to the king, and the other part they can maintain for their establishment cost. So, he was in opulence in his early life, but in contrast, in his devotional life, he became very, very austere. Not artificially austere, it was just that he was naturally austere. And naturally, he was always filled in love for Krishna. Sometimes if we try to imitate austerity, it makes our heart hard. But in his case, he was just naturally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and so he didn't waste any time with other material amenities. Translation of verse 92. All right, first the verse. Prabhu samarpilotare sarupirahate Prabhu Gupta Seva Koilo Sarupera Sate Varasha Shorasha Vatsara Koilo Antaranga Sevan Sarupera Antar Dhane Aila Vrindavan. When Raghunath Das Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, the Lord entrusted him to the care of Sarup Damodar, his secretary. Thus they both engaged in the confidential service of the Lord. Purport. This confidential service was the personal care of the Lord. Sarup Damodar, acting as his secretary, attended to the Lord's baths, meals, rests, and massages, and Raghunath Das Goswami assisted him. In effect, Raghunath Das Goswami acted as the assistant secretary of the Lord. Translation. He rendered confidential service to the Lord for 16 years at Jagannath Puri. And after the disappearance of both the Lord and Sarup Damodar, he left Jagannath Puri and went to Vrindavana. So, you can see that how close he was to Lord Chaitanya, that he was with Lord Chaitanya practically day and night for 16 years. The private secretary, he was the servant of the servant, being the servant of Sarup Damodar. So, he knew so many of the intimate pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj, he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami all about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. Therefore, he wrote down everything as he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is largely coming from the source of Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the most authoritative source, because he was there for 16 years as the assistant secretary to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If anyone ever wanted to know how did Krishna Das Kaviraj know these things, because he went from Bengal directly to Vrindavan, this is how he knew. In Vrindavan, he learned everything from Raghunath Das Goswami. Primarily, plus other sources as well. Vrindavane dui baira charana dekhiya govardhane tachi bodeho bhigupato koriya. Translation. As a daily duty, he regularly offered 1,000 obeisances to the Lord, chanted at least 100,000 holy names, and offered obeisances 2,000 Vaishnavas. Prabhupada explained that just as we chant 16 rounds a day, he would have a fixed number of times he'd pay obeisances. 1,000 times to the deity, up, down, paying his obeisances 1,000 times, and 2,000 times to the Vaishnavas. It's a lot of obeisances. In this way, he'd also be chanting 100,000 times Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. For someone who pays that many obeisances, naturally, it's one way of becoming very fixed in humility before the Lord, combined with chanting and other practices. So like this, he did so many extremely... no one else chanted, just like we all, chanting rounds a fixed number of times is standard. But paying obeisances a fixed number of times, there's like something additional that I don't know of anyone else that did it like that. Certainly no one to this extent. Ratri dhine radha krishne manasa seban prahareka mahaprabhu charita kathan. Translation. Day and night he rendered service within his mind to Radha Krishna, and for 3 hours a day he discoursed about the character of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. We have many things to learn about bhajana, or worship of the Lord, by following in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami. All the Goswamis engage in such transcendental activities as described by Srinivasacharya in his poem about them. Krishnot kirtana gana natana para prema mritambho nidhi. Following in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami, one has to execute devotional service very strictly, specifically by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord. In other words, Raghunath Das, in his whole life, his whole day, it was totally occupied with devotional service. There wasn't a second where he wasn't engaged in devotional service. It was total, even to the extreme extent that he even reduced his own eating and sleeping practically to nothing. So, here it mentions that he performed manasa puja. That means mental worship. That's described in the Nectar of Devotion, how a person can serve the Lord in the mind. In other words, say a person is very poor. Like someone said, well, if you don't have wealth, how can you serve the Lord opulently? Well, in Nectar of Devotion, there's a story about one brahmana who was very poor. So he couldn't afford to do opulent deity worship. But he heard a lecture one day where it was explained how you can worship the Lord in your mind through meditation. So he started sitting down, hearing that, and in his mind he imagined, or he had started creating the mental image of beautiful thrones, and there the Lord, he established, he cooked meals, opulent preparations, with ghee and cheese and so many things. Then he put them all in golden vessels and offered before the Lord. And this way, he'd go through an entire deity worship in his mind while he was sitting in meditation. And he'd be totally absorbed, each thing. And he'd be doing this for even years together. Every day he'd sit for so many hours and meditate. So one day he was cooking a sweet rice in his meditation. And he was wondering, I wonder if the sweet rice is too hot, because sweet rice should be cool when you offer to the Lord. He put his finger in the sweet rice, and then immediately he got burnt. And he shouted out, ah! And he woke out of his meditation and looked, and there on his finger, he had a big blister. And he was astonished because he was meditating, you know, and he didn't expect to put his finger in to get physically burnt. Now, in the spiritual sky, there, Krishna in his Narayana form, he was started to laugh, smiling. And next to him, Lakshmi was there and said, what are you laughing about? What happened? You know, why are you keeping it a secret? The goddess of fortune wanted to know his eternal, internal potency. So they said, all right, I'll show you. And he sent one of his transcendental airplanes down, his Pushpa Viman, And there they came, picked up the Brahmin. He said, come on, Narayan wants to see you. Get on board. Picked him up, took him back to the spiritual world in the self-same body. And there, of course, it was transcendentalized going there. And then he explained to Lakshmi the devotional service of the Brahmana. And in this way, he was immediately reinstated back in the spiritual world. So that's the one history we have about mental worship. But we see that here, in more the mood of Vrindavan, Raghunath Das was performing daily worship for the Lord. And we know that there are many, many pastimes about Raghunath Das Goswami. I think it was one time, see, Raghunath Das, he would always go to the river and Jamuna or one pond, rather, can take the water. And Sanatan Goswami saw that there was a big tiger there ready to jump on Raghunath Das. And so Krishna personally appeared and he was standing guard so that Raghunath Das wouldn't get hurt. So then after that, Sanatana Goswami started to chastise Raghunath Das that you're coming here to serve Krishna, but by your excessive austerity, you're forcing Krishna to serve you. So he enforced him to build a small grass hut to stay in some little place at Radha. Otherwise, Raghunath Das was simply sleeping under a different tree every night. He would not even live in a house. He was so austere. In Jagannath Puri, he was taking simply what he would do is, he thought, why should I take the prasad, which is, you know, for the other devotees, I'm not worthy. He, instead, there were some leftovers they'd throw in the back. And so he would take those leftover prasadams. But then he saw that there were other dogs and animals would come up and take the leftover prasad also. So he thought, I'm depriving them. Why should I deprive them? By eating, they'll become purified. So he wouldn't take that. He'd let it wait. And after the dogs and everything else already eaten everything that they could, there would still be, say, some clumps of rice or something that were so rotten outside that even the animals wouldn't eat. He'd take those, break them open, and from the center he'd take the little piece of rice that was left and eat that. And he'd just take the rice that was fallen in the drain, the gutter coming out from the temple. And in this way, he did austerities that, you know, you can't even... Because Prabhupada explained that if someone tries to imitate that, even if you eat the food off of someone else's plate, if you think that this is contaminated or it's not pure or something, if you have any kind of material vision, but then just to put on a show, you eat it, then you're going to get sick. But actually, Raghunath Das Goswami, he could see, he had that type of elevated vision. He could actually see that prasadam was not different from Krishna. So for him, because he was so much in the transcendental plane, he could take this prasadam, which normally no one would take, because physically it had become apparently decomposed and all that. But somehow he was able to take it because of his elevated vision. So obviously we cannot imitate that because we'll see, oh, this is rotten or this is... So if we try to imitate in our mind, we won't be able to free ourselves from that type of thought and it will become just an artificial thing. But himself, these thoughts never even entered his mind. He had so much intense faith and devotion for the prasadam that he was firmly convinced that it would never be polluted. And with that deep faith, he could take any kind of prasadam and he was always on the transcendental platform. In fact, one time, Lord Chaitanya saw him sitting eating prasadam like that. And he said, what are you doing? You see, and he hid the prasadam. He said, nothing. He says, no, you're taking prasadam. Let me have some of that prasadam. He says, no, 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 no. This is not fit for you. Although he was eating like that, he would see that Lord Chaitanya was offered always the best opulent prasadam as the assistant to the secretary. But he himself, for his own self, he would just take the throwaways. So he said, no, 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 this is not suitable for you. He said, no, what do you mean? If it's suitable for you, you mean to say that it's not suitable for me? You give me some of that prasad, why are you depriving me? And Raghunath Das said, no, 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 he was becoming, how can Lord Chaitanya take this? It was thrown out and everything. We offer Lord Chaitanya only the best. You know, then he said, no, no, this can't be offered to you. Then Lord Chaitanya started to pursue him. No, you give me some. And then he ran off. But Lord Chaitanya, being 7 feet high and very powerful, he was able to quickly overcome him. And he grabbed out some of the prasad from his hand, that thrown away rice, and he just took a little and put it in his mouth and said, ah, this is the best prasad I've ever had. So, even Lord Chaitanya, he said, no one, just to tell us how to do it, don't even try. Nobody can match Raghunath Das's austerity. It just, there are certain devotees kind of just set the standard in a specific field of excellence in that particular quality. Sarta sapta praha kore bhakti sadhane charidanno nidra se nohe konodine. Translation. He engaged himself in devotional service for more than 22.5 hours a day, and for less than 2 hours he slept, although on some days that also was not possible. 22.5 hours a day, less than 2 hours a day sleep, and some days he didn't even do that. He was so busy with his devotional service. Like sometimes devotees say, I have no time to finish my rounds. So, devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami, they would first finish their rounds and then sleep and eat. Their idea was, what was the greater priority, devotional service or sleeping and eating? So because of their intense devotion, they actually were able to practically transcend sleeping and eating. Tahar sadhonariti sunite chamotkar se rupa raghunath prabhu je amar. Translation. I am struck with wonder when I hear about the devotional service he, Raghunath Das, executed. I accept Srila Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as my guides. Purport. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami accepted Raghunath Das Goswami as his special guide. Therefore, at the end of every chapter, he says, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jaras Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. Sometimes it is misunderstood that by using the word Raghunath, he wanted to offer his respectful obeisances to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. For it is sometimes stated that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was his initiator, spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami does not approve of this statement. He does not accept Raghunath Bhatta Goswami as a spiritual master of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So, Raghunath Das Goswami was the devotee who sponsored, when he was with his parents, when he was the acting landlord or the assistant landlord, he was punished by Lord Nityananda to provide chiradoi, flattened rice and yogurt and popped rice and condensed milk feast for all of the devotees during this season, about a month from now. And that will be celebrating at Atlanta this year. At that time, there were so many associates of Lord Nityananda present, and everyone took that feast. So that was considered as a punishment by Lord Nityananda. Of course, Raghunath Das was very happy to feed all of the Vaishnavas. He took that punishment as a blessing, which it was. So, that we'll discuss more about that aspect of Raghunath Das Goswami's pastimes in Atlanta. The special feature of Raghunath Das, of course, was that he was always absorbed in Radha Krishna's pastimes, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It said that he would daily worship Radha Krishna, he'd lecture on Lord Chaitanya. In this way, he was constantly preaching. In fact, it mentioned that Srinivasacharya asked for his blessings in order that he would be able to preach in Bengal. So, similarly, yesterday was the appearance day of Srinivasacharya, not day before yesterday, and maybe even Raghunath Das, because I forget. There was 2-3 at the same day. Krishnadas Kaviraj, I think, also. In any case, we want to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we want to distribute the books of the six Goswamis. So we can pray to Rupa and Raghunath. We can pray to the six Goswamis. Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguya Gosi Jiva Gopalako. To give us their blessings to be able to preach. You see, one shouldn't think that he can preach because of his own meager capability. It's not that one is a great orator, one is a great learned scholar, or some other material qualification that will enable one to actually be able to penetrate the hard heart of the conditioned souls and plant the seed of pure devotional service. That ability is a blessing from the spiritual master and the previous acharyas and the great Vaishnavas and the Lord himself. Sometimes you might wonder when you read about the abilities of some of the great Kshatriya warriors who fought in the Kurukshetra battle, the Maharathis, Oti Rathis, and Rathis, and so on. They were so powerful that they could fight with literally thousands of people at one time and be victorious. It wasn't sheer, for them, it wasn't sheer material strength, but they had performed great austerities. Arjuna performed austerities and he was given weapons personally by Lord Shiva, different demigods. Including he was given the Gandiva bow and so many other weapons. And basically by their austerities, by the blessings of the Guru, by chanting mantras, so they became empowered to fight in the battlefield. And to be able to have power far beyond what a human being normally could possess. That's why such extraordinary descriptions about those great warriors are not like just exaggeration or some kind of mythology, but it was because they achieved that, they were practically like mystic powers that they had achieved through their austerities and through worshipping of and getting blessings from different brahmanas and demigods and so on. That's for the warriors, I mean to say. Now similarly, a preacher is not simply going out. If a preacher thinks just he's going to go out with his own limited ability and succeed, the success would definitely be either nothing at all or very limited. One might just get to cause this mercy of the Lord even without. But on one's own material ability, it's not possible to spread Krishna consciousness. That is confirmed in the different scriptures. Kali Kali Dharma Nama Sankirtan Krishna Kripa Bine Nahitar Pravartana. Without the mercy of Krishna, no one can spread this Sankirtan movement. So actually, this what we need to do is get the blessings from the spiritual master, from the great devotees, from the six Goswamis, like Raghunath Das Goswami, others, to the previous acharyas to pray up to the disciplic succession, requesting for their benediction to being able to carry out the preaching mission of the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, if they give their blessings, one is assured of success. You see. So even though Raghunath Das himself may not have traveled everywhere, but you could say that if someone says that while he was just doing bhajan, we should imitate him and simply do bhajan. No one can imitate his bhajan, one. Two, that he also wanted, he was also a preacher at heart, is confirmed by the fact that he blessed Srinivasacharya to preach, and he was assigned a specific duty of excavating the holy place in Vrindavan. There he practically established Radha Kunda as the supreme most spiritual tirtha, along with in the world, and similarly he also established Govardhan as the sacred holy place. By his praying presence, but his actual mood was also one of preaching. And there, even though he stayed in one place, he was lecturing every day for so many hours, writing books. And by his blessing, one of the greatest preachers in our disciplic succession was completely successful. So we can understand that although the six Goswamis appeared to be very austere, to be absorbed in this type of private bhajan, solitary worship, that they're actually great preachers. Their mood is one of Goshti Anandi. They want the devotees to expand, the number of devotees to expand, and they're not bhajan Anandis in the way that people might think them to be. They're not bhajan Anandi at all, but people might mistake them to be, and definitely those who imitate them are trying to be like that. Actually, their intention is to carry out the order of Lord Chaitanya, and because they were practically in the platform, they did that best by doing what Lord Chaitanya said and remaining in Vrindavan. But their blessings have been the source of delivering this entire world. You can say that it's their blessings coming down to the disciplic succession. Because, for instance, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also claims great inspiration from the six Goswamis for his preaching movement. And Prabhupada, of course, he also says that his primary inspiration was his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we know that Prabhupada was always, he taught us to sing this six Goswami Ashtakam, and he himself sang so many times. He wrote the Nectar of Devotion, the Upadeshamrita, and so many other works written by the six Goswamis. He wanted that the six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami would be written in the future. I feel personally, and I've been trying to encourage Acharya Dev in this regard, he's the only one who could do that great work. That is the most important work in our disciplic succession. Prabhupada said that Jiva Goswami had so expansively written about Vaishnav philosophy that if anyone reads the six Sandarbhas, the six or seven Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, he so systematically presented the Krishna conscious philosophy from every angle of vision, that any open-minded philosopher in the world would have to be convinced about the validity of the Krishna conscious philosophy. But it's very, very stiff, kind of elevated philosophical treatise. So I'm very hopeful that Acharya Dev will benedict us after he finishes the Western philosophers. He'll go to the greatest philosopher who appeared in the Sampradaya after Lord Chaitanya, Jiva Goswami's works on the six Sandarbhas. But whether Jiva Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami or the other Goswamis, their intention was always to expand the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we want to be able to preach, then we need the blessings of Guru and Vaishnava and Krishna. And this way, then we can be empowered to take up and to actually present Krishna consciousness in an effective manner. We should always be dependent upon the mercy of these great acharyas. We should never think ourselves to be an island unto ourselves, and that simply by our own intellect we're going to be able to answer questions and to preach. But we should always be humble and dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, and the Lord. And by their blessings, everything can be achieved, which would ordinarily be impossible. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakti. May Raghunath Das Goswami have his blessings upon us so that we may be empowered to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as was handed down to us through disciplic succession by His Divine Grace, Avoy Charan, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hari Bol. Any other questions?
Were all the six Goswamis different incarnations of gopis?
Well, they weren't all gopis, but Srila Prabhupada mentioned that at least three of them were. But there's different, I don't know, there's different opinions. I'd have to look at the Gaur Dishabha, Deepika, what they presented. Some opinion are that three are, three were souls who appeared just to assist Lord Chaitanya, but they'd come from a position in the material world. And I think there are other opinions, they might all be Manjaris. They're not. Rupa Manjari is the ninth gopi. Others may not be gopis, but assistants to the gopis. Some of them. Assistant Manjaris. There's the first 108 gopis, and then there's others. Manjaris, who assistant gopis, and then there's assistants to the assistants. Assistance to the Manjaris.
Also, you state what it is about Manjara.
Yeah, raise your hand in colder.
Yeah. You state about the Gadigo.
Yes. Getting a weapon or something like that, that's some special benediction. But anyway, those are the for the Kshatriyas. For the Brahmanas, there always was initiation, and the Brahmanas aren't engaged in warfare like Kshatriya. They're engaged in preaching and in instructing and in establishing God consciousness in the world. And primarily in the Krishna conscious movement, we are teaching Brahminical culture. Of course, there are some Kshatriyas who are also training up to defend the devotees and everything, but you'd have to discuss with those Kshatriyas their special feature and everything. Hare Krishna.